What I always like to say is there is a big difference between life happening to you and life catching up to you. Your emergency fund is, if I lose my primary income source, I now have a way to still maintain my lifestyle because I have 3 to 6 months or more of my living expenses. That is your emergency fund. Now, this emergency fund should be in a cash equivalent account because you need to have readily access to it. People always ask me, well, what's the best bank account? I don't love any bank, right? So any bank that's going to give you a decent interest rate to have that cash equivalent is cool. I don't recommend putting much over 6 months into this account because, as you know, the bank is only going to give you so much interest and you are missing out on opportunity costs to have that money allocated elsewhere, especially when you can invest the money, borrow against the value of your portfolio. But that's another conversation for another day. However, at least if you have about 6 months saved away, this could be a good option for you. What I always like to say is there is a big difference between life happening to you and life catching up to you. Okay. What do I mean by that? If you get laid off from your job and lose your primary income source, that is life happening to you. There's nothing you could have did about that. That's unfortunate. But if you've been working for 3, 5, 7, or even 10 plus years, right, and you haven't tried to allocate some money away for a rainy day because this could potentially happen to anybody, then that's kind of life catching up to you, right? So if you're in a position right now where you have a job, you have a consistent income, but you are not consistently allocating money towards your emergency reserves, but you somehow find a way to shop every month, you somehow find a way to travel every year, then you are hustling backwards and you can only be mad at yourself if you're presented with a less than ideal situation and you're not in a position to be prepared for. Then we have emergency reserves, okay? So emergency reserves is the account, the what if account, right? We know something's gonna happen. We don't necessarily know what it's gonna be, when it's gonna happen, or how much it's gonna cost, but we know something's coming. And the pushback I always used to get from my clients about budgeting is the reason why they can't budget is because something always comes up. Well, if we know that something always comes up, then we can always plan for it, right? So what does this mean? This means that we don't know how many times we're going to go to the doctor in 2024 or if we're going to go at all, but we know it's possible. So let's make sure we allocate money away for that. We don't know if our car is going to need maintenance, but we know it's possible. Let's start allocating some money away from that for that, right? I also use my emergency reserves account for my non-revolving expenses, right? So if I have things that come out just a few times a year, like vehicle taxes and things of that nature, then instead of having that come from my bill account, I like to have it come from my emergency reserves account because I want my bill account to be pretty close to what I'm expecting to happen on a monthly basis. Now, I do typically have a buffer allocated for that account. However, right, I want it to be pretty close to what I'm expecting for that month so that that way I'm almost having like a zero-based budgeting system. I'm only putting what needs to go where it needs to go. And I expect for it to pretty much, for the most part, be exhausted. Not, of course, counting my, you know, savings account. I even allocate like my Christmas budget there, right? Like when I'm like shopping for like the holidays, things of that nature. And what that also does is like, okay, well, it keeps you honest in the sense that if there were things that came out throughout the year that exceeded the normal threshold of what I was expecting, it might mean that I need to just temper, right, how much money I think I can afford to spend for the holidays, because what'll happen is now you'll end up overspending if you had other unplanned expenses and you're still trying to spend at the same threshold for a holiday that is not necessarily about buying gifts, right? The purpose of holidays is to spend time with friends, family, and loved ones. It's not about who can put up the best tree and buy the biggest gifts. So if your budget for that has dwindled due to other unforeseen circumstances, then in all honesty, it should be what it should be, right? Some people don't look at it that way, but that's how I like to look at it, okay? So that's my emergency reserves bucket. Then my last bucket is my major expenses, okay? So for major expenses, these are things that I am planning for, but they are larger than what I might ordinarily allocate for like a typical monthly budgeting item. Or they could be just things that you plan to do at some point within the year, but as a result, you need to have a little bit more intention and planning than just like, oh, I can swipe my card for a couple $100 this month for some new clothes, right? So this requires a little bit more intention, a little bit more thought. And for me, it keeps me honest on what I can actually afford in this category, right? Versus me just arbitrarily saying, oh, I want to go and travel all these places this year. If I look at every other area where I'm supposed to be allocating funds, right? My major expenses, excuse me, my fixed expenses, my variable expenses, my emergency fund, etc. Instead of having all that money in one account or two accounts, and it's like, oh, I can go do what I want to do. When it's broken up, it might show me that I can only afford to allocate $500 or $1,000 a month into my major expense account. So on the lower end, $6,000, right, a year. On the upper end, $12,000 a year. So depending upon how many goals or things I want to accomplish in this year, that is the budget that I have. So my major expense account is going to tell me if I can go to Maldives, or it's going to tell me if I can go to Myrtle Beach, right? Not I just feel like going, or I have the desire to go to this place. What does my budget tell me? And if you prioritize it, then you just need to make sure that that is the focus of your major expense account so that you can allocate more money towards the thing. I'm not saying that you can't go spend $12,000 on a single vacation, right? As long as it's within budget. If that's your priority for that particular account, you've already allocated money for saving, you've already allocated money for investing, emergency fund, all your bills are taken care of, et cetera. And you, this is the amount of money that you have that's discretionary for whatever it might, whatever you might want it to be. New laptop, trip to Bali, whatever. You just got to know that whatever's in this account, that is what I have available. So how you decide to allocate that is ultimately up to you, your priorities, and what's important at the time. Now, what are some other things and factors to consider when you are trying to set up a money management machine that works for you? I always like to tell people that you have to put it through the qualitative lens and the quantitative lens. So the quantitative lens is going to be basically you just doing the X's and O's. All right, this is how much money is coming in. When I look at all my expenses, this is how much money is going out. I'm going to make an educated guess on how much money I think is going out, i.e. projected. Then I'm going to reference my actual numbers by logging into my online bank account, or if you're a member of the Melanin Millionaires Club, using your My Wealth Health dashboard and seeing where the money's actually going. And from there, now I can set a reasonable target. So if I thought I was spending $300 on eating out, but I'm actually spending $800, it's probably not realistic that I try to set a budget of $300 because I was way off. Maybe I start at $500 because that's going to stretch you. You're going to have to come down $300, but you're coming up $200 from what you thought you were doing. And then now you track from there, right? That's how you set a realistic cash flow plan. You don't just say, I want to spend $50 a month and that's what I'm going to do. You probably won't hit the target. That's like somebody who has not working out saying, I'm going to start doing two-a-days. I'm only going to eat rice and broccoli. I'm not going to eat any sugar. And you were just, you know, doing whatever you wanted to do for the past several years. Unlikely that you'll be successful. So that's why we back into it this way. And I like to call this the cash flow management stretch zone or sweet spot. What does that mean? It means I'm not making it too easy on myself to where anybody could do it. I'm not making it so hard on myself that I increase the likelihood of failing. This is challenging, but if I pay attention, it's doable. Now, what is the qualitative lens? The qualitative lens is what I like to call value-based budgeting. And what value-based budgeting means, you're aligning your spending with what you say you value. So you want to ask yourself a few questions, right? Number one, does my spending align with what I say I value? The aha moment that should happen is the only way you can know that answer is if you understand what you value, right? What matters to you? Where do you want to go? Who do you want to do it with? Who do you want to help? Right? Like, what do you value? Then once you understand what you value, you can ask yourself a very important question. Is there a more cost-effective alternative? In some instances, there might be. In some instances, there might not be, right? But as long as the spending aligns with what you say you value and you've gone through the mental exercise of determining if there is a more cost-effective alternative, then you've done your part, right? Now, of course, if it's not within your budget, you're forced to come up with a more cost-effective alternative, right? Like, you can't just say, oh, there isn't, and I'm going to do what I want to do, right? It's like, let me give you a prime example. Let's say that you found that you were spending more money on eating out than maybe you assumed. But then when you looked at, okay, well, yeah, but I was going out to brunch with my family, my cousins, my good friends. We were fellowshipping. We had a great time. And I value relationships. Cool. Okay. If you can afford that, and that makes sense within your budget, and because you're aligning your spending with what you say you value, maybe you say you don't value clothes and shopping that much, and we can move some things around and it can make sense, even though you're spending more than you thought. That's fine. But if you find that even though you value those things, it's not within the realm of what's reasonable for your cash flow, then you have no choice but to find a more cost-effective alternative. Because you identify that you value the fellowship, it's not necessarily the food. So if it's not within my budget, what might that need to look like for me? Maybe I'm inviting people over to the house, we're having a kickback, and people are pitching in, right? And anybody in their right mind, if you're willing to be transparent and vulnerable about your goals, right? It's not like you have to say I'm broke and I don't have the money, because that might not be the case, right? It might just mean that you have a different focus. Hey guys, I'm really trying to get better about saving and investing, but I really do value time with you. So if it's okay with you, instead of us always going out to eat at brunch, would you be okay if we rotated our houses and just, you know, alternated who did what, or we all pitched in each time? We just alternated hosting. So for example, one person can bring the bottle of champagne and the OJ. One person can bring the breakfast meats. One person can bring stuff to make pancakes with, whatever, you know, whatever your jam is. And now each person's probably come out of pocket like less than $10, right? Probably significantly less than if you went to brunch and you spent $50, $60 a person. So that's how you back into that qualitative. And again, what I want you to remember is not about spending less money exclusively. It's about first aligning your spending with what you say you value. Okay. Once you've done that, then you can back into what makes sense and should things be moved around based upon your value system. All right. So another important component to this is understanding the importance of planning versus tracking. Tracking is reactive and planning is proactive, right? When you track something, you are reflecting on what you did. When you plan something, you are setting the intention for what you're going to do, right? And what I found is that planning, you're more likely to hit the target consistently than tracking, because tracking, sometimes you're playing from behind and you're trying to catch up, right? So when you think about your finances, you want to have a money date with yourself or whoever is involved in your financial plan at least weekly in an ideal scenario, right? That way, what happens is you're able to plan ahead of time how you want things to be allocated. So if you know you got family coming in town, or if you know you're traveling, you know your eating out budget is going to be a little bit higher than normal, then what that means is maybe the week prior, I have to be more diligent. I might normally be able to go out a couple of times a week when I'm at home, but if I'm traveling and I might have to go out a couple of times a day, then I need to plan for that, right? And see how I can offset that so I can still hit my goals. Or I need to plan ahead of time to know that this month is going to be higher in the eating out category, so maybe I'm doing less shopping. So that way I'm just moving money around, but I'm still able to hit my target. Now that might seem like a lot, right? But if you want to hit your goals, these are the things that you have to do. And when you do it consistently, it really isn't that hard. Some of these categories might be different than I expect. So my goal, my game, is to figure out how to adjust these other areas so that I still hit the same target, right? That is the game. And then you gamify it, right? And then you get really, really good at planning what you expect to happen and still hitting your goals despite the variables that come up, right? So guys, I hope that this was helpful. This is my tried and true system. I actually wrote a Forbes article on this. You can check that out. I, again, taught this in my community because this is something that we all need to be reminded of. And we all need a money management system if we want to be good stewards over our finances. Because this is where it all starts. I don't care how much you make, right? If you're not a good steward over your finances, it is the equivalent of having a hole in a bucket. No matter how much water you pour in the bucket, there's going to be a leak, right? And that is how people's finances are. They don't know where the holes in their bucket are. So as a result, it creates a leak and they never have as much water, i.e. money, as they expect, which means they're not going to have enough money to invest, which means they're never going to be financially free. So hopefully this was helpful, guys. If you like this video, share it with somebody. Make sure you leave a comment. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you check out our weekly podcast, The Melanin Money Show, for more financial news. And thank you so much for tuning in as always. And remember, freedom is for sale if you're willing to pay the price.